Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Happy New Year again to you all. Praise God. How many God's been good to you? How many God was so good to you in 2018? The same God. The same God's blessing you already in 2019. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You have your Bible tonight. Turn to the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It'd help if I gave you a chapter and a verse that you should turn to in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Some of you are almost there. I want to say this to you. What's that sound? What's that sound? It's the sound of opportunity knocking at your door. Let's go to the word. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And now it was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized him. And he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. And so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And on the very night Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." His chains fell off. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard, he came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. They went out and went along one street. And immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all the Jewish people were expecting." And when he had realized this, he went to the house of Mary. Listen, now he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came and to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And he left and went on to another place. One of the most remarkable stories in all of Scripture is the story that we just read. What is that sound? It's the sound of opportunity knocking at your door. Amen. You know, several days ago, as we were waiting before the Lord, asking him what to share on tonight, after a little time of prayer, then this word came right up out of our spirit: opportunity. 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 This is kind of a funny story, because here Peter, after the miraculous, he's there in prison with no hope of getting free, no hope of escape, no hope. There's no way he's going to get out of Herod's clutches. Herod killed James. He cut his head off, and he's going to cut Peter's head off the next day. And just to make sure that there's no monkey business, he has four squads of soldiers. There were 16 men guarding Peter. There was no earthly way in the natural that he would ever get free. Oh, but when you serve our God, when you know our Lord, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the Bible says something phenomenal was going on. That the church had gathered together at John Mark's house, and they were praying. They were there praying for Peter when the very thing they were praying about came knocking at the door. And they were so shocked and so funny. Rhoda, the servant girl, she recognized Peter's voice. And then she got so much joy that he was out. She didn't, instead of opening the gate, letting him in, she just ran on in there and said he was out. That they didn't even believe he was out there. Peter's still out there knocking on the door. I said, what's that sound? It's the sound of opportunity knocking at your door. In this year, there are four things I believe we're supposed to share tonight. Four things we're supposed to share with you that produce opportunity, that will produce opportunity for you this year. Opportunity's knocking. The question is, are you listening? You and I, when I say you, me too. Are we listening? I said, opportunity is knocking. And the Lord, he has in mind to accomplish some things in your life, whether or not you know that this year. If you don't know that, you need to go and read Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah 29, 11, read 30, 31. Amen. He knows the plans he has for you. Plans to help you succeed, not for calamity. God's got great things in store for you. And the thing about it, I just want to share briefly tonight, four things the Lord laid on my heart in prayer that we should share. Opportunity. These four things will bring opportunity to you and I this year. You know what the first one is? Problems. Can't get no amen. But problems, problems. When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can approach problems totally differently than somebody out in the world. Problems will produce for you and I, actually, opportunity. Can't get no amen. He said, give us the second point. You know, over in John chapter 20, about verse 15, Mary had a huge problem. They had taken her Savior. Jesus had been crucified. He had made his promises of resurrection, but the disciples had no proof of that. They were doubtful. They didn't know if he had resurrected or not. They didn't know where he was. Where was his body? Had somebody stolen it? They just knew that somebody came and reported his body was gone. The grave was open, and they didn't assume he'd risen from the dead. They didn't know. And so Mary rushed to the tomb and she had a problem. Where is my Lord? Where is my Lord? I can't find my Lord. And there at verse 15, she was weeping. She was so disturbed. She was there at the tomb. When you read John 20, verse 15, she was weeping there at the tomb. And so the angels couldn't help her. Finally, you know, Jesus himself said something. Jesus appeared at the tomb and said something to her. And she dismissed Jesus. She summarily dismissed him. You know why? She didn't know it was Jesus. She had a problem, but she missed the opportunity. Opportunity was staring her right in the face. Jesus said, who are you looking for? She was crying through the tears and the emotion. She said, if you have taken my Lord, tell me where he is. She was saying, in effect, don't waste my time. Where is Jesus? But she was talking to Jesus. Opportunity was staring her right in the face. You ever been there? Anybody ever been there beside me? Opportunity can sometimes stare you right in the face. It can be masked, though, in a problem. And see, the thing about it is, if we get in the flesh, give way to the flesh, you'll miss it. You'll never see the opportunity. Give way to worry, you'll never see the opportunity. Let fear creep in on you, you'll never see the opportunity. That's why when problems comes, we ought to just be full of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I said, amen. We ought to just say, this too shall pass. The Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 9:10. The Bible said, count it all joy. And James 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you encounter various trials and problems. We as believers are to have joy. Why? Because there's a huge opportunity staring right there in front of you. Just staring at you. Oftentimes your answer, just staring at you. We cry, Lord, Lord, just tell me where the Lord is. Tell me how to get to the Lord. He's talking to you. You remember Jesus called her name. He said, Mary. She said, Rabboni. Opportunity, problems. Problems mask opportunity. But for every problem you encounter in this 2019 year, I want to guarantee you this, there is an opportunity for God, not just to answer your prayer, to move in your life, to move you to a next level, to prove himself strong in your behalf, to prove himself faithful to his promises. I said, God will come through for you. Amen. The question is not, will we ever have a problem in 2019? It's, will we trust him in the midst of the problem? Will we see that we've got opportunity right there in the midst? problems reveal opportunity. I said problems reveal opportunity. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Peter has just finished listening to the Lord. The Lord just gave a sermon, essentially. He gave a dissertation to some people. He used Peter's boat to do that. And then the Lord speaks these words, verse 3. We're in Luke chapter 5, verse 3. We're talking about problem. I said there are four things that will bring opportunity this year to us. Great opportunity. I'm talking about opportunity to succeed. I'm talking about opportunity for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives. I'm talking about God opportunity. That's what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 5, verse 3, and he got into one of the boats, as Jesus, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch. Now that was a problem. You know why that was a problem? Because Peter was a professional fisherman, and because he had already fished all night. They had already worked hard all night. They had already cleaned their nets. And you know, when you clean the nets, I'm sure it was a big hassle to clean the net. You know, I don't know. I've never cleaned nets, but my dad, he used to have a boat, and you know, living on the East Coast in the Atlantic Ocean and all the salt in the ocean and the water, you know, when you take the boat out of the water, you're just getting started cleaning it. You've got to clean the trailer, all the water off the wheels, and all the you got to make sure the salt is off of all of it. Salt would corrode it. You understand? So you got to get the salt off of that. You got to get the salt off of the boat, off of the propeller. You got to make sure you got the zinc oxide that gets the barnacles off the boat, off the propeller. It's just a lot of work. Just clean up when you come out of the water. I can't imagine what it's like to clean what they did cleaning the nets. They already had the nets cleaned and put away. They'd already fished all night, already worked hard all night. Didn't catch a thing. Now Jesus, at the wrong time of the day, in the wrong place, asked him to put out to the deep, go out into the deep water, and then let your nets down for a catch. And you know what Peter's response is in verse 5 and 6? Peter said, look, he said, Lord, we've already worked hard all night. We fished all night. We didn't catch a thing. But Peter had learned something by this time. This is wisdom working through Peter now. He said, nevertheless, if you say there's fish there, if you say there's fish there, if you say there's an opportunity, we're going to drop this net. Oh, the net's going in the water. You just tell me where to drop it. There's opportunity. I got a problem. I fished hard all night, didn't catch a thing. He said, that's my living. I've got a problem. Didn't make a nickel. But if you say it, Lord. And see, he's saying there's opportunity waiting on you in your 2019. Good things. I mean, awesome things. I mean, God is intending to provide for you in ways you haven't dreamt of yet. He's already got provision made for you. He's already got bread warm for you. He's already got things done for you. The question is, are we going to cooperate with him? Peter had some wisdom there. Peter said, we fished all night, didn't catch a thing. But if you say there's opportunity there, don't look like no opportunity. He said, don't look like no opportunity to me, Lord. Just look like a problem. Don't look like no opportunity. But if you say there's fish there, they drop that net. They filled up two boats with all the fish. I said, the Lord, he's got your opportunity. But what he needs, the question is not, does he have your opportunity? The question is, does he have our availability and our cooperation? Ooh, a preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. Opportunity, that's a done deal. He's got opportunity in every place. Every time you have a problem this year, you ought to just rejoice. God's got an opportunity. He's going to bring you through that problem, bring you through that trial. Just because you have a trial, hey, Jesus has already paid the price. He's already won the victory. He's already made you more than a conqueror. We're barely into the new year, and the Lord's already got victory marked out every place you go. And so problems can reveal opportunity. In my life, some of the greatest problems I've had have always revealed opportunity. Said opportunity. Man, where does our time go? Persistence, number two. Persistence. It is so important. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'm talking about persistence. Persistence always reveals opportunity. You know, just that dogged Holy Ghost tenaciousness to not give up, to not let go. We ought to cling to the promises of God. When God tells you something, do it. When he tells you to stick with something, stick with it. When he tells you to be faithful, just be faithful. Amen. And there's something about persistence that always will bring opportunity. Being persistent. Persistent in the things of God. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you who when his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, he will not give him a snake. Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? Woo! Now you're talking God talk. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him in 2019? That's how it reads in my Bible. I don't know what you see in your Bible. But how much more? If people in the world know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Heavenly Father? He's got so many things mapped out for you. But persistence, the ability to just hang in there, to not quit, to not give up. And you know, when things get tough, if things get tough for you this year, if you go through a little tight spot, that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to throw in the towel. Because just like problems reveal opportunity, so persistence will bring opportunity to you and I. Persistence. If we will be persistent, I tell you, God will, he will give us the answer. He will show us what to do. He will show us what direction to go in. Amen. This is going to be an awesome year. But if you have problems, don't get discouraged. There's an opportunity there. God's got a plan for you to succeed. And I tell you, if we'll learn how to be persistent, God's going to bring us through to the other side. Learning to be persistent, learning to never give up. Preparation. Problems will bring, will reveal opportunity. Persistence will reveal opportunity. Preparation. Oh, preparation will always reveal opportunity. In Proverbs 24:27, we're talking about preparation now. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. That really means, you know, get your plans together, get all the preparations together first, and then go and build the house. Don't build the house and then try and get the plans as you're building the house. Get the plan first, and then after you've got the plan, then go and build the house. Preparation. Preparation always leads to opportunity. I said preparation. And there's many different types of preparation. God, oftentimes, when we come into contact with God's will, sometimes where we miss it is we lose track of that there might be some preparation that goes along with the will of God. Can't get no amen teaching like that. God called you here to go to Ramah. You better finish what he called you to do. Don't come here and go 1 year, then leave, go home. Then the Lord have to bring you right back here and then you start all over again. He may have a calling on your life, but listen, there's preparation that goes with that calling. And whatever it is God has marked out for you to do, there's a preparation time. There's a preparation time. And we ought to give earnest heed to preparation. Because we get everything so instant in our society, we don't like to talk about preparation anymore. We just say, put the popcorn in the microwave and pop it, and we don't want to wait. We don't wait for nothing. Nah, God has preparation time. Oh, but if you'll hang in there during the preparation time, woo, it'll lead to opportunity later. Yeah. My dad told me one time when I was just a young man, we were going by somebody that was digging a ditch for their job. And my dad said, son, never make fun of a man. That's working hard. Any man working, never make fun of a man working. He said, you see that man working right there? I said, yeah. He said, he's digging a ditch. That's how he's making it. He's working hard for his income. I said, yes, dad. He said, listen, he said, do you want to do that when you grow up? I said, no, dad, I don't want to do that. He said, well, then you better stay in school. Get your education. Go to college, it'll lead to opportunity for you. And after college, you know, working with FedEx and in those early days, you know, some days, sometimes I worked 6 days a week. A lot of times I did, especially those first 3 years. Worked every single Saturday the first 2 years, but it led to opportunity later. Wow. And then what my dad told me was true. When I went to, it may be different now, the rules change and requirements change, but when I went wanted to apply for a manager position, they said, well, you can't just apply for a manager position. You have to go through this management training program. That management training program takes 2 years. And they said, that's all volunteer. I said, okay, I got started. I went through a 2-year management training program, did that in a year. And they said, well, you can't apply unless you have a college degree. They said, well, what you can do for every 1 year, if you don't have a college degree, then for every 1 year of college, you have to have 4 years of experience. In other words, you would have had to have 16 years working there at that. I don't know what the requirements are now. What are you saying? I'm saying preparation led to opportunity. Because I went and I finished that led to an opportunity. You're learning how to work on cars. You're in some program learning how to weld or how to do hair. Hey, stick with that. Finish that. It's going to lead to opportunity. You're in some training program. You better stick with that. It'll lead to opportunity. So when you have problems, it'll lead to opportunity. If you're a Christian, it'll lead to opportunity. Persistence will lead to opportunity. Preparation will lead to opportunity. And oftentimes, whether it's ministry or secular work, there's some type of preparation that must be done first. And so just hang in there. If it doesn't just come instantly, if there's something that you need to do to prepare yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it is, hang in there. Preparation will lead to opportunity. Sometimes God prepares us in different ways so that he can use us. Look at 2 Timothy. Good googly, look at the time. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. We're talking about preparation now. Prepared for every good work. And see, in this brand new 2019 year, you might say, last year, if you look at your life, how do you characterize, someone here might say, last year I'd have to say that I was a clay vessel. But this 2019 year, I'm not going to be a clay vessel. I'm going to be a wood vessel for the Lord. That's a step above the clay vessel. Somebody who was a wood vessel might say, I'm going to be a silver vessel unto the Lord. Somebody who was a silver vessel might be saying, I'm going to be a gold vessel unto the Lord. But whatever it is, see, God will use us. God will use us as much as he can, whether it's clay, whether it's wood, whether it's silver or whether it's gold. But the Bible says, listen, if we'll cleanse ourselves of the things mentioned there in 2 Timothy, he said, hey, we'll be a vessel unto honor and we'll be prepared for the master to use us. I said, God's got things to do with you. He's got plans for you. God wants to use you in a greater way than he has heretofore. God wants to use you in a much greater way. Say you and I. God wants to use us in a greater way. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you see, the things that we're allowing God to do in our lives today will enable him, will prepare us to be used tomorrow. Can I say it that way? I said preparation. Preparation time is never wasted time. And for anything the Lord has, whether you're working on cars, whether you're working on hair, whatever you're doing, there's a preparation time. And if you'll hang in there during that preparation time, it'll lead right to the door of opportunity. You'll be so glad you hung in there, that you didn't skip the time of preparation. And whether it's you personally that God is preparing, whether it is your mind that's being prepared, whatever it is, don't neglect preparation. My fourth point, prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. Problems, persistence. Preparation. Prayerfulness. Prayerfulness is so important, because prayerfulness, our own prayerfulness this year will lead straight to the door of opportunity. Opportunity's knocking at our door. But our own sense of prayerfulness is what will enable God to work in our lives that which he has, and to use us in a mighty way. Prayer will always open the door to opportunity. The first chapter of Philippians, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, your prayer has opened the door. Go to Acts 12. We started there at Acts 12. Go back to Acts 12 real quick. He told the Philippians in Philippians 1, he said, it's your prayers that will lead to my release. It's your prayers that are giving me the opportunity to be set free. But back at our scripture in the book of Acts chapter 12, listen, prayer is what leads to opportunity. And listen, Herod had Peter so locked up, there was no way in the natural he was going to ever get free. But the Bible says, but the saints, they were gathered together and they were praying. And prayer to God was being made fervently. You can see that verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. Acts 12, 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. I said prayer always leads to opportunity. Prayer will lead to opportunity. Here, there was no way for opportunity. Peter had no opportunity. Oh, but the church started praying. And an angel showed up. And the prayer from the saints of God led to opportunity. Gates opened by themselves. 16 soldiers were frozen there. Didn't know what happened to Peter as he walked out. It just, chains fell off of him. Gates opened up. He was set free. There was an opportunity. God had an opportunity right there for him. But how did it come? It came through prayer. Go with me. We've got time for one more scripture. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about now prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. That's our fourth final point. Prayerfulness will lead to opportunity. Problems will. Persistence will. Preparation will. And prayerfulness. Prayerfulness will lead to opportunity. Verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Woo! We need to be praying that prayer over and over again. Get this one and that one out of Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, you know, that you might be filled. God doesn't want us just to be acquainted with his will. He wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that we'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh, yeah. To please him in all respects. Yeah. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with might. I said when prayer leads directly to opportunity, leads directly to divine opportunity. And listen, a greater prayerfulness on our part will lead directly to opportunity from the Lord. But the thing about it, we've got to have a clear knowledge of his will. Financially, spiritually, in all that you're doing this year, God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will for our lives. Why? Because then we can please him. If we're filled with the knowledge of his will, then we can live in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. There'll be fruit from our lives. And listen, God will open up doors of opportunity for us. God's looking for a way to get answers to you and I. Let's not be like Mary crying at the tomb, saying, where's my opportunity? Where's Jesus? What'd you do with Jesus? She's talking to her opportunity. Oh, opportunity's knocking at your door. Right now, tonight, the Lord's trying to get things to you. He wants things multiplied in your life. He wants you healed in your body. He wants you sound in your mind. He wants a roof over your head and bread on your table. He wants you able to do all the things he's called you to do. He wants you blessed to be a blessing to somebody else. God's got outstanding things planned for you. Opportunity is knocking. Knocking at your door. What's that sound? It's the sound of opportunity knocking at your door. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we've endeavored to share these few moments on what you gave us to share for tonight. And yet we thank you because we know that there is yet another opportunity. There is yet, Father, another opportunity revealed in Ephesians 4, verse 25 through 27. Father God, thank you for ministering and helping your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye is closed. Hey, if you're here tonight, tonight's your night, you may need the greatest of all opportunities. That's a fresh start. You may need a fresh start with God. Ushers, help me here. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, let me see your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get born again. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to accept God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Is that you? Let me see your hand. We'll pray for you. You might be here tonight, and maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe you already know what it means to have received Jesus as your Lord, but you know you haven't been living right. You've been living your own way, going your own way, doing your own thing. And now it's time to make things right with God. Let me see your hand. You say, preacher, pray for me. I am a Christian, but I need to correct my fellowship with God. I need to get my fellowship with God correct. You might be here and you're saying, you know, I started doing things my own way. Well, you know, God loves you so much. And his offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ is on the table. And you know, the Bible says this, that the enemy, that he's looking for an opportunity. Satan looks for an opportunity. It is to rob us by forfeit. So if God's moving on your heart tonight, lift your hand, let me pray for you. Don't give the enemy an opportunity when you know the Holy Spirit's moving on you. I see your hand. When you know that it's the Holy Spirit moving on you. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And you sense that God's moving on you. And God's saying, you know, you need to make it right. You know, you need to get right with me. You need to reconcile that. You know, he says in his word, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, but if you're open to him, a great opportunity is going to be opened in your life. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand tonight. You say, I'm not right with God. I know the Holy Spirit's moving on me. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to do. Every head is still bowed. Every eye is closed. If you lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand, the Holy Spirit's moving on you. What I want you to do is just stand right up on your feet. Just right now, just boldly stand up on your feet. I want you to excuse yourself, come right down the aisle, and let me do what I said. I want to pray for you. The Lord's going to help you. He's going to give you all kind of brand new, fresh opportunity. Just stand right up on your feet. Come right down this aisle and let me pray for you. Just stand up on your feet right now. Come on down the aisle. God's got something great for you. He's got something great in store. He's looking for somebody who's going to obey him, who's going to cooperate with him. You want the Lord to help you. You want the Lord to give you a new opportunity. Oh, this is your hour. Come on down. Let the Lord help you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of your people. We thank you for those whose hearts you're touching. We trust that, Father, you'll continue to multiply your mercy to them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's got something good for you. God's got something good for you. Hallelujah. I know that's a long walk. Come right on up here, sis. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. My little one. God bless you. Hallelujah. Somebody else. God's working on you. God's speaking to you. You say, brother, why don't you just minister to her? Because God's speaking to somebody else. You say, how do you know that? Praying before this service. God's trying to give you a chance. Listen, the thing is, you may not always have this opportunity. Don't let opportunity pass you by. The Bible says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come on now, I know there's somebody else in here. And the Lord's waiting on you. Hallelujah. Said God's waiting on you. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to do just what we said. We're going to pray with you. If you'll just lift one hand to the Lord, because that's who you're coming to. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for our precious sister. And Father, we thank you for touching her life. And Father, we thank you for just renewing and restoring her. I want everybody to say this prayer after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I accept your offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you are true to your word to save, to heal, to deliver, and to set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you so much for my sister. I thank you so much for my little friend here. And I thank you, Father God, for blessing them, touching them, providing everything they need. May your mighty power flow through them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for my friend here. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, I thank you for my friend. I thank you for touching her. Touch her, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that your offer of forgiveness is real. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in the lives and hearts to reconcile people unto yourself. Thank you that you sent Jesus to be our ransom. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Stand on your feet in the congregation and point your hands, stretch your hands toward these. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for blessing, for touching, for healing, for strengthening. Father God, for just opening doors of opportunity. Father, for just blessing in every area, spiritually, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, in every area of their lives. They'll be touched, never be the same. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Reverend Paul here. He's our prayer worker tonight. And if you'll go with him, he's going to give you some free material. And he's going to make sure you have everything you need in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Come on, let's show our love. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for using Brother Paul and all those who are in the prayer room tonight. Thank you for using them. May your mighty power fall. And Father, may every need be met. May every body touched in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a joy. What an honor to share with you tonight. Hallelujah. And can I just say that there's still some other people here you didn't obey God, and you don't want to miss your opportunity. You don't want to miss your opportunity. Opportunity is knocking and you're about to let it go by. Somebody here. Don't do that. Get it right with God tonight before you leave this place. He's going to help you. There's still people he wants. He's trying to help somebody here. He's trying to help. He's helping everybody. But there's someone who needs to reconcile their life with Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, all right. Well, you came here tonight. It was your first time. We had several people like that, and we are so honored on behalf of our senior pastors who are out ministering tonight. We are so honored that you came. Let's show our love to all of them. Thank you. And if you would, go with our connection team workers. Those are the folks who came to you initially to welcome you. Go with them because as Pastor Marvin promised, we got a great gift for you, and we're not going to hold you long. They're not going to hold you long, but they just want to give you that gift. Bless you in Jesus' name. You'll be glad you went there and got that gift. So again, let's thank them all for coming. I want to say Happy New Year again to all of my church family here tonight. God's got awesome things in store. Be looking for opportunity. There's heavenly opportunity coming your way. It's knocking at your door, all right? What's that sound? It's the sound of opportunity knocking at your door. All right. We love you all. Anything else, guys? Then you are dismissed. We love you. We'll see you. Be right here. Pastor will be preaching Sunday morning. God bless you. Sunday, Wednesday. He'll be preaching Wednesday here. God bless you.